We're talking with Bill Arnold, the comedian, the bad magician. And I want to ask you about the bad magic, because if you have a chance to go check out his website, you should. It's BillArnoldComedian.com. And you can find out more about what Bill does in his act. And some of the accolades that you've been given are about your bad magic act. And it's interesting because I understand that for those of you who perhaps haven't seen a bad magic act before.
You mean comedy magic.
Exactly.
It doesn't work. Nothing really works very well. And that's funny.
But you have to really know what you're doing.
But you have to be good to look bad.
That's right.
Right.
And can you speak to that and explain why that is?
Well, that was one of the many compliments that the three of us who wrote Triple Espresso and performed it so many times used to love, was critics picked up on that. They would said, you don't know how good you have to be to look bad. Because all of us had a little bit of that going in the show. And I think that's what was one of the endearing qualities of the show, is we were pathetic at times. And people would laugh very hard. And critics would always say, you have to really be good to look bad.
One of the things you are, of course, most known for is Triple Espresso. And the show that has run for so long and over 2 million people have seen it. Take us back to the beginning. I understand it grew out of a mutual admiration society that you and two of your friends had.
Yeah, I was at a National Youth Workers Convention in 1991 in Chicago. And there was the last Saturday evening banquet was comedy night. And there were four comedians on the bill. I was on it and Bob Stromberg was on it. And we just kind of loved what each other was doing. And Bob said, yeah, I'm moving to Minneapolis. I said, wow, let's have breakfast. Let's get to know each other a little bit. So we became friends. And then he started getting on the Sunday Night Live with Richard Allison. And Mike Donnelly was the creative music director for that show. And he loved Mike's work and Mike loved Bob's work. So we all started sort of admiring each other's work. And we sat down over breakfast one day and said, what do you say we just do something together? And I think Bob said, well, we have to book it, otherwise we'll never do it. So I went to a friend of mine who's a pastor at a fairly big church, and I said, hey, we got this evening of entertainment. It's kind of like a play, and do you want it for your church family? We'll just give it to you for free. He said, sure. So I went back to the guys, and I said, all right, we're booked in 30 days. And at that point, we had not written one line. You talk about back sweat. And 600 people showed up and laughed themselves silly. And I thought, we should do this again.
What was it that you set out to do, to accomplish after that first meeting?
Well, the three of us had pretty successful solo careers, and we thought, well, if we each take 10 minutes of our best stuff that we've been doing for a long time and write a story around that, we might have something that would work. And that's kind of what we did.
So explain the show's premise for those who have not seen it, maybe elsewhere across the upper Midwest and have not had the chance to see it.
The short story is we were a comedy trio that got a big break in 1974 on the Mike Douglas show. And it was our big break. And Bob, one of the characters in the show, decided that we weren't going to do the piece we auditioned with. We were going to up the ante and do this piece that we thought was going to just skyrocket us to fame. And it turned out to be the single most embarrassing moment in television history. And we were barred from television. And so we recreate that moment. But for 5 years prior to that moment, we did every bad gig around the world. And we recreate all of those gigs. And it culminates with a recreation of what happened on the Mike Douglas show. And people are buckled over laughing. They can hardly breathe.
And it's a show that's been seen by more than 2 million human beings in over 50 cities and 6 countries. One of the things I'm most fascinated by, when folks really succeed at something that they love doing, that tends to change them in some way, some good ways and some bad ways. Did
Very
it change
true.
You?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, it's a performer's dream to have a steady gig. You wake up every morning and you go, hey, I got a job tonight. You know, you're not picking up the phone wondering when you're going to eat next.
Sure.
Most performers are not used to that. So it was really a blessing to have a steady job. It was really fun. We would pray before every show, the three of us, and we would say, to ask God to have the Holy Spirit come in and minister to people. Because, you know, they drag all kinds of stuff into a theater. They drag in depression, marital problems, cancer, you name it. And they bring it in, and they're looking for a little vacation from their problems. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to them. And then we would always greet people in the lobby on the way out. And we were amazed at how many people would come up to us and say, thank you, you've given me 2 hours of a cancer-free life. Or we brought our dad tonight and our mom died 2 years ago. And tonight was the first night in 2 years we've seen him laugh. Mm-hmm. And so it was really, really fun to see so much joy come out of a performance. And, you know, there'd be people that would come 10 to 20 times. And they would bring friends back. And when people would come to town, they'd bring them back. So it got to be one of those things that people would come over and over and over. They'd see it again and again.
Even though you've done comedy shows and comic magic shows so many times, did it refresh you and remind you of the power of humor when you would have those conversations and talk to people in that way?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the downside for me at times was I could be a victim of my own industry. You know, I'm the cleaning lady with a dirty house. You know, I'm the dentist that has a cavity.
Sure.
Because I'm the one that kind of dispenses fun, but then I'm the one that turns around and has a hard time having it. Because when you're on stage performing and hearing people laugh, it's really wonderful. But sometimes when you then want to go home and be quiet and not go out.
Sure.
So, you know, everything comes into play, and you know, it's so interesting.
We talked about the piece in Refreshed at the top of the interview. And you mentioned in the piece your affection for numerous comedians and the impact they had on you. But Bob Newhart is the one that you've patterned yourself most after, you said. Why is that?
Well, first of all, he was very material driven, and he would rely on the strength of his material, which I always love, because I don't do impressions. I don't do voices. I don't do zany physical comedy. I like to just talk and make people laugh. And his delivery style was so appealing, because it was... He would stammer a little bit, and you wouldn't know when it was going to come out and when it was going to strike. But boy, when it did, it was always so funny. And I used to love that show he used to do, the Bob Newhart show. That was always made me laugh. And I love dry deadpan comedy. That's what I do.
I asked you this question earlier, but I also wanted to bring it up again, because you talked about the intersection of faith and humor. And I wonder, maybe I'll ask it this way. Is there a perspective that humor allows you to have, especially in a world that is so serious? I mean, we see headline after headline that is sobering. Is there a perspective when we laugh that we gain about the world that we maybe wouldn't have otherwise?
Well, there's that passage in John that Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation.
Yes.
But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I think to myself, how often are Christians characterized as people of good cheer? I don't think it's very often. I don't think we are having enough fun. I think it's good to laugh. I think it's good to cry. I think emotions are good. I mean, it's keep them real. But I think when you laugh, you just reduce some of the pain in the world. And there's so much of it. And to me, it's... I love having a pool of friends I can go to and get on the phone with and laugh with and instantly just go to a different place. It's just a little mini vacation. So, you know what it's like when you walk into a bakery for the first 30 seconds and you go, oh, smell this. It's just, it's phenomenal.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And you sometimes just, I think of humor as that. You walk into the bakery and you go, oh, how about that smell? And comedy, that laughter is just kind of that surge of, this feels so good. And it just sort of, I feel my body just relax a little bit. So, you know, the fact that we're bringing that, you're bringing that to people, or you're sharing that with others, I think it's important.
That's tremendous. I love the way you looked at that verse. I hadn't thought of the importance of the phrase, be of good cheer, in that verse before.
Well, I don't know if that's probably not the NIV translation or King James, but I think it's good news anyway. I just love the be of good cheer, because I think that's important.
That's great, man.
And I'm a fairly depressed person, so it's probably good that I should say that myself.
Talking with another comedian to actually be serious out of what you just said there, I wonder if that isn't true, because talking to another comedian, Darren Streblo, he actually said comedians are more morose, serious people. Mm-hmm. Is that true in your own
100%
life?
100% true.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't say it is for me. There is a little cloud that comes over. And sometimes the cloud functions. It actually serves me, because we look at the different side of things. We have to look all 360 degrees around something, you know. So it's I don't push it away when it comes, but I know I've written my funniest material when I've been feeling the blues.
That's fascinating. I think that's very fascinating.
It's true. If I'm happy, I'm not writing anything that's funny. So I don't want to be down, but I don't drive it away too fast because I think, there might be something there.
Tell us a little bit about the weekly show, because Real Recovery here on the airwaves of Faith Radio, it's one of the most compelling storytelling programs that we have here on Faith Radio, and you can find it at myfaithradio.com. But tell us a little bit about the creation that you and Mr. George Frazier have there and what its purpose is.
Well, it started off with me as a volunteer at the Salvation Army one night. I went down there to do a show for the men who were in the program, and I walked out of that night thinking, I have to come back next week and just serve as a volunteer, because this was a rehabilitative program for people for men in drug and alcohol recovery. They're there for 6 months living there. And I thought, how can I serve? I've done a lot of prison ministry in my life. I've been in over 80 prisons, many as a volunteer. But I've also had a lot of interest to work with men in recovery, which is very funny because I've never done drugs or alcohol in my life. But, you know, this is one of those things that nothing is inconsequential. And I watched George, who was the program director down there, do such a great job and have such a connection with the men. And one of George's philosophies is your recovery has to be as much fun as your using was, or you'll go back to using. So it's important to make sure you're enjoying life. Sure. And John 10:10 says that Jesus came to give us life and give it abundantly. So let's bring it on. Let's have some abundant life. So I said to Faith Radio, I said, these stories are so interesting and there's so much to them. And I see the redemption of Christ in their lives. So we started hoping it would last 6 weeks, and now we're in our third year. And really, it's been a blast, and the stories have been great.
That's tremendous. And it's 5 p.m. every Sunday night.
As far as I know. Yeah, as far as I know.
I wonder, as you look back over this story that we've been covering here, you know, to those moments of decision when you were a young person and you wanted a different path, you wanted something different. Are you glad you chose the one that you did?
I don't know if I'm going to think too hard about that one. I think, honestly, Ryan, I think what I'm going to say is, for the grace of God, I've been getting to do what I've been doing.
Yeah,
I've always had it on my heart that I would be a communicator of the gospel. God would give me some kind of tool or some kind of ability to break patterns, to get people thinking, to draw people in, because nothing else really matters except eternity. You know, C.S. Lewis has this great line where he says, what isn't eternal is eternally out of date. In other words, what isn't eternal is eternally out of date. So yeah, it's fun to talk about, you know, how the Vikings do on Saturday or Sunday, but in eternity, it doesn't matter. So I don't do very well with news, weather, and sports. I'm more of a who are you and what makes you tick guy.
And using your gifts. Using the gifts you've been given and hearing God's pleasure in those laughs and people smiling. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. I like seeing smiling faces, which I get to do quite a bit. Because when you make people laugh, you see a lot of smiling faces.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I go to work on any given night, and you get more positive affirmation before you open your mouth than most people get in their career.
Absolutely.
So it's not right, but I'll take it.
Well, we thank you so much for being a part of On the Road, Bill. It's been great to talk to you, to get to know the story behind the laughter. And I wonder, too, as we just say farewell, if you would let people know how they could find out more about you.
I don't want people finding out about me. Leave me alone.
About the services you can provide as a comedian and a comic magician. Could I go on the internet and do that?
I suppose you could. My web address is www.billarnoldcomedian.com, billarnoldcomedian.com. Just to do a search, you'll find me, but don't bother me, please.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate your time so much.
You're the man. Thanks, Brian.